In your Bibles this morning to the book of Daniel chapter 2. I have a message today. I'm going to abbreviate my message. It's going to be, instead of 2 hours, it's only going to be 1 hour and 45 minutes. I have a message. I'm going to call it, What Happens If the Other Side Wins the Election? Woo! What's going to happen? Where did that tell you to turn? Oh, yeah. That's where I'm going to, Daniel. You know, there's a lot of verses I could read here, but I want to focus on one. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel 2 and verse 21, speaking of our great God, to whom has all wisdom and all power. Verse 21, Daniel 2:21, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. I want to look at this verse just a little bit today. It tells us, first of all, that the Lord is the one who sets the seasons. You know, our God literally controls the weather. It's in His hands. The seasons are in His hands. He changes it from summer to fall. Sometimes we wish you'd hurry that up. You know, time you get around August in here, but he changes it from fall to winter and from winter to spring. He's responsible for that because he set the whole thing in order once he put the earth in its orbit around the sun. So it all goes around the tilt of the axis of the earth as it turns around every 24 hours and then every 365 days makes its orbit around the sun. You know, the seasons change because God decreed it. Amen. He decreed that it would be so. And the seasons will continue to change as long as the earth exists because God decreed that that would be so. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, here's what God says about that. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Amen. Long as the earth remains, then the seasons will continue. The earth will spin on its axis. It will rotate around the sun. And that is going to happen until the very end of the end. While the earth remains. Now, yesterday, you know, the major news channels all started announcing that Joe Biden is the president-elect, that he has all the electoral votes he needs to take the presidency, and that would make Kamala Harris our vice president. That would make him, well, vice president-elect. That would make him president-elect. And barring some miraculous, I mean, it's going to take almost at this point a miraculous intervention, then Biden will be our next president. He will be number 46. So on January the 20th, which is a Wednesday, January 20th of 2021, barring some dramatic change of events, then Joe Biden will be our next president. Now, what I want to tell you is what's going to happen the very next day. On Thursday, January the 21st, the sun is going to rise in the east. The earth's going to rotate on its axis. Amen. And it will appear to us that the sun is making its way across the sky. And it will set in the west.
Amen. That's
I promise you that's what's going to happen. I want you to know that the birds are going to flit and flutter and fly on that Thursday, the day after he is, if he takes the oath of office and becomes our next president, the birds are going to fly, the bees are going to buzz, the bugs are going to crawl, the dogs are going to bark, the cats are going to meow, the cows are going to moo, and the pigs are going to oink. I mean, it's all going to happen on the very next day. And it will continue to happen until the earth, until everything comes to a dramatic stop. But pretty profound, huh? You came a long way to hear this prophecy. All of nature is going to go on about its business like nothing happened. It's just going to be another day. They will go about their business. People are still going to get up and go to work. I mean, and you know, all of nature will continue uninterrupted. Nothing will change as far as they're concerned. I think we could learn lessons sometimes from nature. In fact, the Bible tells us we ought to learn lessons from nature. Remember what the Lord said? Look at the birds. Look at the birds. They're not out toiling and sweating and laboring and harvesting and stacking up stuff in barns, storing it up. And he said, and yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. He looks after them. He takes care of them. They're not worried. My guess is not a single bird in all the world is going to have a panic attack or a heart attack because of a new president.
That's awesome.
All right. A few ducks will have heart attacks, but it's because steel shot is going to find them in the air. You know, the truth of the matter is, no matter who is president,
right, Jesus is Lord.
No matter who is senator or congressman,
right,
or governor or mayor, no matter who it is, no matter what party they represent,
amen,
God will continue to be our source.
Yes,
God will be your source. He will be your supply. God will be your safety. He will be your security.
Amen.
And you know what? He will still be faithful. Here's something else I can promise you that's going to happen on Thursday, January the 21st of 2021. If we get a new president, you will be able to open your Bible and not one verse will have changed. Not one. Now, you know, this New Testament has about almost 8,000 verses. Not one will be changed. You'll be able to turn to any verse that you remember. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That promise will still be there. It will not say unless you clowns elect. It doesn't say that. It says, my God will supply.
Amen.
You know that verse was true when the Apostle Paul wrote it.
Amen.
It was true then. It's gonna be true on January the 21st, 2021. I want you to mark. You know, Brother Rusty said that.
Yes.
He prophesied that. God's going to remain trustworthy. And you know he's going to be trustworthy in every nation of the world.
Amen.
In the USA, in our neighbors to the south, our neighbors to the north, and all across the world, God will be trustworthy. Salvation will still be available to those who repent and believe.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that I take great assurance in the fact that the Word of God doesn't change.
Amen.
You know, there's a great passage over in Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Forever, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That settled means it's fixed, it's established, it's set in place, it is stationed there, it's not moving. God's word is settled, it's fixed. It doesn't change. And you know, when the Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled," you know what that means, forever? It means forever, yeah. That's what it means. It's eternal. It's not temporary. It doesn't change with fashions. It doesn't change with trends. It doesn't change with a new morality. It's forever settled. The American Supreme Court cannot change, alter, amend, update, or in any other way change the Word of God. It's fixed forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's fixed forever. Elections do not change the Word of God. Presidents cannot change the Word of God. Kings cannot change the Word of God. Also, remember, you know why he can't change it? Because it is God's word. Forever, O God, thy word. It's God's word. It's not men's word. It's not men's opinions. It's God's word. It's God's word forever. And it's unchanging. Also, it's settled. Being settled in heaven, it's fixed, unalterable, never changing. It's as immutable as God is. You know, God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. The media cannot change the word of God. Amen. Hollywood can't change it. Now, they can change morals. They can try and flip the script and tell you that evil is good and good is evil. But the word of God is fixed forever. Amen. And it's settled in heaven where man can't change it. You know, it's settled forever. It's out of reach of mere men. We just believe it.
Amen.
When you open your Bible on Thursday, January the 21st, 2021, it'll be the same Bible.
Amen. It will.
It won't have changed at all.
Amen.
Not one bit.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, just like God changes the seasons,
right.
You know, God does that. You know, an election can't stop it from happening.
That's right. No matter what they do.
No matter who's president. It's going to turn into winter.
That's right.
The president can't stop it. Governors can't stop it. Emperors can't stop it. And look, the Bible also says in our text, in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, not only does he change the seasons, but he removes kings and he sets up kings.
Amen.
Just like there are seasons in the weather,
right.
You know, there are seasons when God sets up a king, takes down another one, removes that one, puts another one in place. I know we think we elect him. And I believe that God, in his great sovereignty, is not in any way affected by the free will that he gave to mankind.
Amen.
I also believe sometimes he'll give a nation its will.
Right.
Hey, Israel wanted a king. You want a king? I'll give you a king. I'll give you a king. You'll have a king.
But,
so he can remove kings. He can set up kings. But don't forget that God reigns even in the kingdoms of men. There's another passage over in Daniel chapter 4. There's several, but I'm just going to read the one, Daniel 4:35, where the Bible says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. And he does according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, And no one can stay his hand or say, God, what are you doing? All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. You think God is impressed because somebody wears a crown, even a royal crown? Not a hamburger, but you know, the not a Burger King hat, but I'm talking about, yeah. He rules in the kingdoms of men. He gives it to whoever he chooses. Daniel 4:17 says, I listened to the speeches that were given by the presumptive president-elect and the presumptive vice-president-elect. I turned it on and listened, and I heard them speak, and I watched the crowds around them yelling and waving banners and signs and honking horns, and the crowds were cheering, and everybody was so exuberant, so happy. And you know what I thought about? That I would imagine that it looked pretty much the same way 2,000 years ago when one emperor died and another one rose to power. So, oh, we got a new power. All hail the king, you know. All the signs, all the banners, blowing trumpets, all the applause. And God must look on it all. And, you know, when he calls, Isaiah says he calls the nations a drop in a bucket. The nations are a drop in the bucket. In fact, he goes on and says, and they are less than the dust on the balance.
Wow.
They're less than the dust on the balance. Back in the day, Fritz, I used to live in the country. I lived in Mount Hermon, Louisiana. And they had a feed store where we would go and buy feed that was in sacks, and they'd shovel it out, put it on the scale, you know, when we buy small quantities of the dried corn. Dried corn we were buying, for, I guess, to feed the pigs. I don't know what we bought it for. But they put it on the scale, weigh it, dump it in a sack, and you know what's left on the scale? Dust. Dust that is of no consequence. It weighs nothing. Yeah. It's just dust. Well, this is what the Bible says. God thinks of the nations of the world. They're less than the dust of the balance.
That's true.
They are of no consequence to him.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean he's not in charge. It means they are powerless. Oh, they herald their kings. Oh, this is our great leader. Oh, now that we've got this Caesar in and we got rid of that other Caesar, oh, everything's going to be good now. You know, our hope is not in any human leader. Our salvation is not in any human leader. And I'm concerned about evangelicalism in the United States, because I believe, I really do, they got fixed a little too much on Trump. A little too much confidence in a man who is a man who really needs the Lord. I mean, in many, many, many ways. But all of the heralding, the excitement over the new Caesar. Oh, now we got a leader we can get behind. Where are those Caesars now? Where are Earth's emperors? Where are the kings that were heralded so loudly? Where are the pharaohs? Yeah, they're all dead. And where are their mighty empires? Mighty Egypt, mighty Rome. Where are they now? Well, you know, you're going to have to go dig in the sand to try and uncover a relic of their past glory, because, you know, they have come and gone. And while I know Christians are concerned, they're concerned about what's going to happen now. Are we going to lose our rights if this fellow becomes president? That, you know, you can't worry about these things. We have a task to do here, and that task is to live our life for Christ, to shine our light for Christ, and to love across the political aisle. Christ died for all. He didn't just die for some. He died for all. And this division that evangelicals have stuck between them and the liberals, that's got to be removed. We have to be ready to witness, to love, to accept men of and women of every political stripe. I think about all the big empires that have tried to, put limitations on the Church of Jesus Christ, persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ. I mean, it started with Rome. There were some terrible emperors who persecuted Christians, Nero among them. Nero was a demonized beast who took delight in crucifying Christians, in impaling them and pouring molten tar over them and setting them afire at night, using them for torches to light up the Colosseum where they had their games. They fed Christians to lions. They fed them to wild dogs. They pulled them apart with horses. They sawed them in. Look, they crucified. They were terrible people. Where are they now? Where is mighty Rome today? Mighty Rome, you find it in the history books. You can still visit Rome and see the relics of its ancient past. But the kingdoms, the empires have come and gone. And you know what? The Church of Jesus Christ remains. It remains. It has remained through the fires of Rome, through the fires and persecutions of every empire that ever came against them. They are gone. There have been popes who tried to ban the Bible, burn the heretics, burn Christians. Where are they? They're all dead and gone. The Bible remains. The Church of Christ remains. And it will remain no matter who is president, no matter who is elected or who isn't elected. Let's not put our hopes, our confidence, our faith, our trust, or our security in any way in any man. Amen. Not in any man. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So here's my prophecy. On January the 21st of 2021, Christ will still be king. He will still reign in heaven and earth. He will reign in heaven and earth. In fact, I made a little Facebook post that said, when the election is over, I actually copied this from somebody, but when the election is over, you can see, these results are guaranteed. God will still be on the throne. Jesus will still be king and Lord. The Bible will still have all the answers to every problem. The tomb will still be empty. Jesus will still be the only way to heaven. Prayer will still work. That is, God will still hear our prayer. The cross and not the government will still be our salvation. And there will still be room at the cross. There'll be room at the cross. Jesus will still save anyone who puts their hope, faith, confidence, trust in Him. And the Lord will always be with us. Always. He'll never leave us or forsake us. You know, I do pray that if this election was won fraudulently, I pray that it be exposed. I pray that it be exposed and the wrongdoers be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law for trying to pervert a just election. And, you know, I guess time will tell. Amen. And we have to put these things in the hands of the Lord. That's right. Because you don't know. You might think you know. Well, I know what happened. You don't know what happened. No. It may have been a fair election. If it was won fairly, then let's get that also in our hearts. Amen. And that if we have a new president, then you know what? We're going to call him Mr. President, Madam Vice President, and we will pray for them just as the Bible tells us to pray for those who are in authority so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty and holy fear. That's what the Bible tells us to do, whoever the leaders are. Brother Michael Brown wrote a few things that I thought were good. I'm going to read them to you. that he actually expressed some words of caution to the church. And these are his words. I'm going to read this to you real quickly. He wrote out 10 things. He said, I'm urging the church in these 10 ways. Number one, we must clearly and emphatically put the cross before the flag. You know he's right.
Amen.
We are Americans, but we are Christians first.
Amen.
Our loyalty, our fidelity is first and foremost to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We would not betray our nation. But first and foremost, we will not betray our Savior.
Amen.
The cross before the flag. Second, we must proclaim that, well, Donald Trump is our president, but not our Savior.
Amen.
He is definitely not a Savior. And whoever is the president, Christ is Savior. We must put greater emphasis on spiritual activity than on political activity.
Amen.
A solid amen.
Amen.
We must not get caught up with election fever.
Amen.
Or election conspiracies or election crazy. We must not justify carnality and unchristian behavior, not in any candidate. Don't justify it. Don't justify anybody that acts like a devil, even if they are of your favorite political party. The church must regain its prophetic voice, that is, its biblical voice. He says we must be holistic Christians in this sense, truly pursuing justice and righteousness for all. We are all equal in the sight of God.
Amen.
Men and women, black and white, whatever race, whatever ethnicity, we are entirely, completely equal, and racism has no part in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, must never have any part in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will tell you that God hates racism in any form, because racists hate people for no reason other than the way they look. Now, how foolish is that? He goes on and says, we must walk in love towards those who vilify us and oppose us. That's right. They don't like you. Pray for them. Let's unite around Jesus rather than divide over Trump or over any political party. Unite around Jesus, not divide over political party. And let's lead the nation in repentance, knowing that repentance prepares the way of the Lord, opening a path for revival, visitation, and awakening.
Amen.
You know, there was something else that's been interesting this political season. There are people who profess to be prophets all across America. And I'm sure this is true in other parts of the world as well. But there are even big organizations of prophets and apostles that, or at least they profess to be. Almost to a man or a woman, almost unilaterally, they have prophesied that Trump would win the election.
Yes, that's right.
If there's a single exception, I'm not aware of it. But every single one that I have heard, read, they prophesied a Trump win.
Yep.
So, either the prophets were all deceived, or what they're saying now is, well, the story ain't over yet. I mean, it's not over until the fat lady sings. It's not over until the final result gets certified and he takes the oath of office, and that hasn't happened yet. And there's probably going to be a Supreme Court challenge, and so this thing could drag out for weeks, for months. Well, you know, this, you know what I'm doing from all of that? I'm exiting from all of that. And I'm going to put all my trust in the Lord where it belongs. And I'm just going to live like a Christian ought to live, to the best of my ability, and trust the Lord to help me to live a victorious life. It also gives me even less confidence in those who profess to be prophets. Of course, I never paid much attention to them anyway, to be honest with you.
I
won't go there. Here's what we know for sure. Time will tell.
Amen.
You know the worst enemy of a false prophet? Time. Because they predict this, they predict that. Time will tell.
Amen.
And if they're false prophets, time will tell. But if they... I believe God can raise up true ones as well.
Oh, yeah.
But nothing's too hard for God.
This I want you to leave with today. Our God reigns.
Yes.
He reigns in the kingdoms of men. He reigns in the armies of heaven. He reigns. Let him reign in your heart. Let him reign in your mind. Let him bring peace to your mind and heart.
Amen.
You know, flood your mind, your heart with the Word of God. Remind yourself our God is in charge of it all. None of this takes him by surprise. He never says, "Phew, I didn't see that coming." That, you know,
Amen.
He reigns. He's God. He knows it all. He sees it all.
Amen.
And he's, you know, he's on top. Like somebody said, no matter who's president, God is king. So, Lord, we put our trust in you today. We confess, Lord, that you reign. Lord Jesus, you told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Lord, let your will be done on earth. Lord Jesus, let your will be done in this election process. Let your will be done in America. Let your will be done in the nations of the world. Let your will be done in our hearts. Let your will be done in our lives. And Lord, help us to be doers of your will. Lord, help us to keep our eyes not on the turmoil around us, but on matters of eternity, the things that matter to you. Lord, when you call the nations a drop in the bucket and less than the dust in the balance, then Lord, help us to see the big picture, that we're not to dedicate our lives, our energy, our concerns, that we're not to dedicate ourselves to those things that you count as less than dust. But let us dedicate ourselves to that which matters. That is your truth being lived, being proclaimed, being spread across our city, our nation, our world.
Yes, Lord.
Let us, Lord, be doers of your will.
Yes,
Lord, bless your people. Help us to pray earnestly for our country, for America, and for the truth to be told.
Yes.
And Lord, for your will to be done.
Yes.
This, Lord, we pray today. And Lord, I also pray for our sister Lucille. Lord Jesus, I pray for her and the work there in Mexico. I pray your blessing upon them, your protection over them, your provision for them. Lord, I ask you to continue to use that ministry for your glory, to teach, to train up students, to train up servants who would bring the gospel to their nation and even to other nations of the world. Protect them, provide for them, use them for your glory. Have your way, have your will done in them and through them. Let them be yielded vessels to you, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray it. Amen. Amen, amen. We are going to